Dear Lord Baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus, or teenage Jesus, or bearded Jesus, or whoever you want.
Listen close as life turns its pages. Machiavelli here kicking rhymes for the ages. Seen things in stages. Wise words spoken by sages. From Skytel to Blackberry Pages. Your crew don't phase us. We'll make you busters pay us. Run up in your spot like CJ from San Andreas. I wrote this song a long time ago. A real long time ago. Feel me? I wrote this song a long time ago. It was the dopest song I ever wrote in 94. What heaven can do when half the people voted for George W. Life's a joke, but George W. can't be true. I'm gonna choke him, cause he's a snitch. I'm talking about George W. Smith from City Council. He ran in 93 out in Oakland. You probably didn't hear about him. I wrote this song a long time ago. A real long time. Shady was in demand. Way before we dropped Baloney on Afghanistan. I wrote this song in 94. How am I doing this? Look around the club, see everyone in the place. Showing Park love, got a smile on my face. The girl in the miniskirt has bad taste, cause that shirt don't match. There's a putting stain on the back. What the fuck is that? It might be doo-doo. You in the back, you ain't in. You bought a gin and tonic, but you didn't even tip. And if you hit this table one more time, then the record might skip, might skip. I told you, stop hitting the tape. 2004, I wrote this rap in 1994. I'm not a liar. Thug life. Dave Chappelle, that ain't your wife. Kids, go home. So a long time ago, a real long time ago, way before me, Siegel had to do a bid, way before Dave Chappelle had two kids. Don't give me no coochie.
Tupac, rest in peace.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Every Sunday waking up, catching gossip at its worst. Couldn't see the difference in the Baptist and the Catholic Church. Caught up in the rapture of the first chapter and second verse. If we all God's children, then what's the word of the Reverend Worth? Taught early that faith is blind, like justice when you face a time. If we all made in God's image, then that mean his face is mine. Wait, or is that blasphemy? It's logical, it has to be. If I don't look like my father, then the way I live is bastardly. Naturally, that's confusion to a youngin' trying to follow Christ. Taught that if you don't know Jesus, then you lead a hollow life. Never question the fact that Jesus was a Jew and not a Christian, or that Christianity was made law by politicians. And who is King James? And why did he think that it was so vital to remove chapters and make his own version of the Bible? They say hell is underground, heaven is in the sky. They say that's where you go when you die, but how they know? I've been to many churches. I quoted many verses. I dealt with my base self. I control my many urges. I used to study my lessons. That was a blessing, not a curse. I found out that heaven and hell exist right here on earth. Word. Studied with Rastafarians. Found out from the dress that hell is called Babylon, and that's where the crazy boyheads dwell. They got us thinking that Muslims like to make bombs, but real Muslims believe in paradise and resist the shaitan. So it all sound the same to me. But when they say one's right and the other's wrong, it just sound like gain to me. It's like God skipped past the church and came to me. No, that ain't vain to me. It's just a particular way that I came to see the difference between those that claim to be religious and those that say they spiritual. And recognize that life is full of miracles. You can see the flow with divine. I glow when I rhyme because it coincides with a growing tide of those looking for God and know to go inside. Looking for absolution. Living in mass confusion. The gas-inducing psychopath created a last solution based on his interpretation of what the words are saying. Looking for God but ended up doing doing the work of Satan. Religion create division, make the Muslim hate the Christian, make the Christian hate the Jew, make up rules of faith that you condition to and gotta follow. God forbid you go to hell, but if you ever been to any ghetto, then you know well.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
This morning, a frightening moment for any parent, and this is all caught on camera.
Gotta see it to believe it here. Take a look. An eagle in Montreal, Canada, circling, eyeing its prey. Then it swoops down and tries to snatch a toddler. Big Bird grabs a hold of the child, drops it, and flies away. The adult taking this video here races toward the child. Once they realize what is actually happening here, we're told the toddler was not hurt, but boy, you can imagine how absolutely horrified and stunned the parents were to see something like this happening. And just nature at its worst.
Right.
Right in front of your eyes. But the good news here is that child was okay.
Wow, that
just,
is...
Just when you think you're at the top of the food chain, not quite.
Lesson learned right there for
to
all of us.
To say the least, wow. I never would have
Incredible.
Thought to fear an eagle with a toddler.
Yeah.
Who knew?
This eagle's place is in the sky. She's still got a lot of flying to do. You can see it in her eye, though she's cried a bit for what we've put her through. She soared above the lifted lamp that guards sweet freedom's door. In the dews, the damps, the watchfires of a nation torn by war. Oh, she's far too young to die. You can see it in her eye. She's not yet begun to fly. It's time to let the mighty eagle soar once more. Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before. From rocky coast to golden shore, let the mighty eagle soar.
If you blinked, you might have missed this story. It's about a viral video posted just yesterday on YouTube showing a toddler being snatched away by an eagle. Take a look. Well, today, a few million hits later, turns out the video was a hoax and Canadian. A group of design students in Montreal made it for a school assignment to create a video with 3D effects and have it go viral.
Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before. From rocky coast to golden shore, the land beneath her sings. Only God, no other kings. Let the mighty eagle soar. Only God, no other kings. Let the mighty
It's not something scientists have seen before, certainly not very often. An adult male penguin eating its own newly hatched chick. It happened in northeast China's Heilongjiang province. The bird was caught on surveillance video, first trying to feed the youngster, but when the chick didn't accept the food, he started pecking it. After repeated pecks, he picked up the chick and began shaking. By this time, the zookeeper had spotted what was going on and was making his way to the hatchery, but it was already too late. By the time he got there, the father penguin had swallowed the chick whole. The reason for the strange behaviour is still being investigated.
Just hours ago, Time magazine unveiled its 2012 Person of the Year. Now, who is it? It is President Obama. This is the second time President Obama is Person of the Year. Time also gave him the title in 2008. Joining us from New York is Radhika Jones. She's the executive editor of Time magazine, and it's her third year editing the Person of the Year issue. Radhika, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. So some might say, oh, this is such a safe choice.
You know, I just read someone say on Twitter that a safe choice is usually a smart choice. We're thinking about the news of the year and the year ahead, but we also are thinking about the legacy of the Person of the Year archive, and we want a choice that will stand up to the test of time, and we felt strongly that President Obama would do that.
Time magazine named President Barack Obama their much-anticipated Person of the Year for 2012, but it was another world leader who snagged the number one spot in Time's reader poll with 5.6 million votes. And here to tell us who it is, Nadia Bilczik. Good morning. All right,
morning.
So spill it.
Well, he's the world's youngest leader. He was appointed by his father. He's none other than the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un.
I wonder if he's celebrating that he was tops in the reader poll.
Well, what's very interesting is he's very similar in policy to his father,
yeah.
But so different in personality. You see him out and about.
Right.
You see him introducing the country to his wife, who is pregnant. And you will be interested to know that he has now allowed women to ride bikes in Pyongyang.
Good for him. That's great.
Also recently, North Korea said that they have the only unicorn lair in the world.
Okay, I don't even know why we know that, but that's good to know. Nadia,
exactly.
Thank you.
A strange country, a strange man.
No doubt.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but I think unicorns are kick-ass.
The mission of two NASA robots came to a crashing halt. Ebb and Flow, the gravity recovery and interior laboratory probes, crashed into a mountain on the moon this afternoon. The probes have spent the past year mapping the surface and composition of the moon. NASA deliberately crashed them because they were running out of fuel.
NASA had a major announcement of its own today. The planet closest to the sun, Mercury, has ice at its poles. The findings came from MESSENGER, the first spacecraft to orbit Mercury. The ice was found in the permanently shadowed region of the North Pole. Scientists said they believe there's ice at the planet's South Pole as well. And in Washington, one of those scientists, David Lawrence, said it's no small amount.
If you add it all up, you have on the order of 100 billion to 1 trillion metric tons of ice. Now, of course, those numbers are big. It's hard to know what to do with them, so we can bring it down to Earth. And in fact, here in this town, if you take the amount of ice that we consider to be at Mercury right now, stack up the entire area of Washington, D.C. by about 2 to 2.5 miles of ice, that's what's present currently at Mercury's poles.
Sicuro servo qui descendit in monte il Sio.
It is highly unusual, but the Queen has paid a visit to number 10 Downing Street today to sit in on the first cabinet meeting of her 60-year reign. The meeting, thought to be the first attended by a monarch since Queen Victoria in peacetime, was organised to mark her Diamond Jubilee. Naomi Grimley joins us from our bureau in Westminster. So, Naomi, her father, George VI, though, he attended some of the war cabinet meetings. OK, the structure was different, the time was different, but she was in good company this morning. Prime Minister on one side, Foreign Secretary on the other.
That's right. She arrived at number 10 dressed in her favourite colour, blue. And after greeting David Cameron on the doorstep, they then went inside. She met all her cabinet ministers, exchanged a few words, and then they went to sit around the coffin-shaped cabinet table. And she just sat there and politely listened. She didn't ask any questions because, of course, as head of state, she has to remain politically neutral.
This is the 8-foot python found in the wall of a childcare centre in Darwin. She wasn't alone. There were also 23 baby snakes in the nest with her.
You know, there's no poison involved that can kill you, but they'll give you, you know, a nice gash if they get hold of you.
Teachers first called the council for help when they spotted a baby python on the floor. All of the snakes that were caught were released back into the bushland.
A pair of Polish circus elephants recover after getting frostbite in Siberia. Jenny and Magda were being transported in minus 41 degree temperatures when their trailer caught fire. They were rescued by their handlers, who then had to resort to an unlikely option to keep them alive: vodka. Yes, the hardy animals, both in their 40s, kept warm by hitting the bottle, which a local zoo director says saved them from pneumonia without damaging their health. But it's no rest for the wicked. Having now recovered, they're back in rehearsals for their Christmas performances. Let's just hope their newfound penchant for alcohol doesn't interfere with their training.
It's a Festivus miracle!
Nation's lawmakers turn their sights on violent video games as one way of reducing gun violence. West Virginia Senator Jay Rockefeller introduced legislation authorizing the National Academy of Sciences to investigate the impact of violent video games on children. There have been reports the Connecticut school shooter played violent video games.
Some may not like them. That's a matter of personal taste.
In the 1950s, it was comic books and a full Senate hearing over the belief that they were making America's kids turn violent.
What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of our own children? Do we forget that they are citizens too, and entitled to the essential freedom to read? Or do we think our children so evil, so vicious, so simple-minded, that it takes but a comic magazine story of murder to set them to murder, of robbery to set them to robbery?
After the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, CNN's Miguel Marquez finds parents are looking for anything to keep their kids safe.
It is a disturbing sign of the times.
You guys make inserts for children's backpacks.
That's correct.
Bullet-resistant inserts.
That's correct.
This is one of them?
Yes.
Show us how they work.
All right, so this is our military-grade product.
For children's backpacks.
And again?
For children's backpacks.
And again?
For children's backpacks.
Oregon gun stores say sales have picked up dramatically in the wake of Sandy Hook and the Portland Mall shootings last week. Area stores say gun sales picked up after Tuesday's shooting at the Clackamas Town Center, but the lines grew exponentially hours after Friday's massacre. The stores are so busy, Oregon State background checks, which usually take 15 minutes, now have customers waiting for 4 hours. Many customers said they are buying a rifle now because they believe their right to purchase one will be going away.
The AR-15, as we've now seen from the last three mass shootings in America, Aurora, the shopping mall in Oregon, and now at Sandy Hook School, is the preferred choice of weapon for disturbed young men who want to commit mass atrocity. It can fire hundreds of bullets at rapid speed if you have the right magazines. The President of the United States has indicated he wants to ban assault weapons like this. What is your view?
I think we need to ban gun control laws that keep people from being able to protect themselves. The problem is not going to go away if we ban this or that gun. We've tried that. That doesn't work. Doesn't even work in England. You've had mass murders there. All over Europe there have been mass murders.
You're
the solution is for people
utter,
to be able to defend themselves at the point of the crime
nonsense.
And not wait for 20 minutes for the police to come after everybody's dead.
Mr. Pratt was an absolute lie. The gun murder rate in countries like Britain or Germany or Australia, who've all suffered massacres many years ago of similar nature, have they are 35 people killed a year.
Your murder rate has
12,000.
Your murder rate is lower than ours. That is true.
Lower.
Your
it's
violent
35
crime,
against 12,000.
Your violent
in
crime rate.
They had a
your
massacre,
violent crime
and they got
rate
rid
is
of
higher
these
than
weapons.
Ours, as is the violent crime rate in Australia. America is not the Wild West that you are depicting. We only have the problem in our cities and unhappily in our schools, where people like you have been able to get laws put on the books that keep people from being able to defend themselves. I honestly don't understand why you would rather have people be victims of a crime than be able to defend themselves. It's incomprehensible.
You're an unbelievably stupid man, aren't you?
Because I know if Jesus were here, he'd probably have an Uzi on him.
Hi, I think we should make it illegal to own guns.
Oh no. Why?
They're too dangerous.
Then why do gun owners feel safer owning them?
They're wrong. You're just as likely to shoot yourself as an intruder.
Not if you know that the bullet comes out of the end with a hole in it.
Well, guns are almost never used in self-defense.
Are you familiar with the actual statistics on that?
Those people should have waited for the police.
Sometimes criminals are in a hurry. Or they won't let you use the phone.
Not even a text message.
For people who don't follow the law, they can be pretty strict.
You still don't need guns to stop criminals.
How do shooting sprees usually end?
With an apology?
No, with a gun.
Yes, they should wait for the shooter to shoot himself.
What if it takes him too long to run out of bullets?
That's why we should outlaw magazines with too many bullets in them. People using them for self-defense don't need many bullets anyway.
How many should you get?
One.
What if you want to fire a warning shot?
Fine. Two then.
What if you miss?
Okay, but no more than three bullets.
What if there are two or more attackers?
I'm going to be generous and allow people to have six bullets in a gun, but that's my final offer.
What if you miss more than once?
Then the criminals have earned a chance to strike back. I'm sorry, but you have to draw the line somewhere.
If you want to ban guns so much, why not try to repeal the Second Amendment?
I'd rather not bring the American voters into this issue. Liberal courts can handle it.
It sounds like you don't have much respect for the Constitution.
The Constitution is just an excuse for people to tell me I can't implement my good ideas.
When do I get to hear the good ones?
The Second Amendment is out of date. It's only for militias.
Didn't people use guns for self-defense or hunting back in the 1700s?
Well, they should only have been allowed to do those things if they joined a militia first.
Do you really want all the gun owners to join militias?
On second thought, militias are out of date and they should be banned too.
I'm guessing you are not a big hunter.
I happen to be a vegetarian.
Oh.
I mean vegan. Whichever is trendier at the moment.
You could still hunt for sport.
It's not a sport. The animals are completely defenseless.
Not true.
What's their defense?
They run away and hide.
Those still aren't even odds. Hunters are too skilled.
I thought you said guns were so dangerous that their owners were just as likely to shoot themselves.
Regardless, people shouldn't hunt. They should take up a new hobby that's more appropriate for a civilized society.
Like what?
Knitting sweaters.
That's not very manly.
I know. But American culture is too masculine.
You think it should be more feminine?
I prefer the term neutered.
Oh. I don't want to be neutered.
That's because you're uncivilized. Every sophisticated person knows we should make guns illegal.
Who told you that?
Liberals who don't own guns.
That doesn't help your case.
Nobody smart enough to want a gun ban is going to own a gun.
Actually, there are some people who have guns who want to make them illegal.
Really?
All the criminals who already have guns.
Don't give me that line about how outlawing guns means only outlaws will have guns. I hate that catchphrase.
Has it ever been disproven?
Regardless, it's annoying to hear people say it. And I do believe the government can get all the guns.
How? There are millions of them.
Law-abiding citizens would return them.
I thought the point was to get them away from criminals.
Disarming the law-abiding gun owners is a good first step.
Why?
Because those are the ones who vote Republican.
Wouldn't criminals become emboldened if they knew none of their victims had a chance of carrying a gun anymore?
It's still a good policy once the government has learned how to get guns away from all the criminals.
Everyone else is defenseless in the meantime.
Sometimes you have to die for something you believe in.
But I don't believe in banning guns.
Oh. What I meant was, sometimes you have to die for something I believe in.
A majority of Americans are pointing to Friday's tragedy as a clear call for major reforms in everything, or literally anything at all that might prevent acts of horrifying, senseless violence. According to a recent ONN poll, the nation is united in saying that the key to preventing future tragedies is a drastic change in gun control, mental health care, school security, media coverage, violent entertainment, the fragility of the human condition, and really so many other things we probably haven't even thought of yet, Jesus. The Randolph Center for Public Health and Safety also released a statement saying, quote, "If you look at statistics regarding gun violence in the United States, you'll see the recent shooting is a clear cry for anything at all to please, please be different." In Washington, lawmakers have reached a bipartisan agreement that the U.S. desperately needs tighter firearm restrictions or looser firearm restrictions, or according to a Beltway insider, quote, "Honestly, whatever option just makes these things stop, do that one." President Obama's speech this week on proposed reforms is expected to last 5 straight days and will culminate with a vote on whether or not to call this whole America thing off.
One little girl may just be getting cold for Christmas. Neighbors say the 8-year-old has been stealing holiday packages from their doorsteps, and they have the video to prove it. A few residents of the Florida neighborhood set up a sting after they noticed several of their packages were missing. They got footage of the child sneaking up to the front door, snatching the packages, and running off. That box is almost bigger than she is. Neighbors didn't expect it to be a little girl.
Complete and utter shock. It wasn't a teenage boy. It wasn't a passerby. It wasn't an adult. It was an 8-year-old child, 1 year younger than my own daughter.
According to police reports, the packages included Barbie dolls, children's makeup, and children's cell phones. Police said they don't suspect anyone else was involved in the theft, and they plan to present the case to the juvenile authorities.
Oh, it's just awful.
The sales are on, the sales are on. I had it on the news. By God, it must be true. The sales are on, the sales are on. They're feeling everywhere with walking in the air. And the roar of all the cheaper little fuckwits. Cheaper little fuckwits hurts the ear. And the sales of all the stupefied blockheads. Out of paint rights, good sense is a fear. The sales are on, the sales are on. I read it in the sun. The sales are on, the sales are on, and I don't wanna go, I'm probably gonna go.
Breaking news now. King County deputies need you to be on the lookout for two stolen semi-trailers full of stolen Nintendo Wiis. The trailers say McKinney on the sides. I know it's a popular brand of trailer. We're working on getting better descriptions. Deputies say they've packed $2 million worth of Wii consoles and equipment into those trailers that were stolen. Expecting to get more information and some photos from the King County Sheriff's Department coming up here shortly.
Event this morning, Apple unveiled the first ever iPhone geared specifically towards college-aged girls, which comes with an already broken screen. According to CEO Tim Cook, quote, the new model has the same functionality as the iPhone 5, but is thinner, lighter, and already so shattered you can barely read anything or dial half of the numbers. And the company is letting customers select from a number of pre-shattered options, from phones that say, I like to get drunk and ride a bike, to phones that say, I dropped this in a beer.
I used to have to go out dancing, get in a fight with my friend Stacy, and then throw my phone into a wall. And now it just comes this way. I have been waiting for this since my last iPhone fell in a sewer.
The company says its next iPhone will be primarily geared towards dads and is pre-programmed to call you anytime they have a question about the iPhone.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you who. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. You.
When George was growing
Jerry,
up,
no.
His father
no.
hated all the commercial and religious aspects of Christmas,
yeah.
So he made up his own holiday.
Oh, and another piece of the puzzle falls into place.
All right.
And instead of a tree, didn't your father put up an aluminum pole?
Oh, Jerry, no. Stop it!
And then weren't there feats of strength that always ended up with you crying?
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy, are we? We'll snuggle up together like birds of a feather would be. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. You.
I don't really celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Festivus.
Feminist.
Festivus, sir. And I was afraid that I would be persecuted for my beliefs. They drove my family out of Bayside, sir.
you making all this up, too?
Oh, no, sir. Festivus is all too real, and I could prove it if I have to.
Yeah, you probably should. Welcome, newcomers. The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Just like the claws, nose is so red, poinsettias in the vase. My Pillsbury doughboy, gingerbread tough. Now kiss me, did you miss me, mistletoe for some love. The winter ice so cold, yeah, it's clogging my snuff. I need the fireplace hot, get the logs in the oven. Until I get my eggnog, a fog fogging me up. Catch me candy cane crunching, come on. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy, are we? We're snuggled up together like birds of a feather would be.
Now, as Festivus rolls on, we come to the feats of strength.
Not the feats of strength.
This year, the honor goes to Mr. Kramer.
Uh-oh. Oh, gee, Frank, I'm sorry. I gotta go. I have to work a double shift at H&H.
I thought you were on strike.
Yeah, well, I caved. I mean, I really had to use their bathroom. Frank, no offense, but this holiday's a little out there.
Well, Kramer, you can't go. Who's gonna do the feats of strength?
How about George?
Good thinking, Cougar. Until you pin me, George, Festivus is not over.
Oh, please, somebody stop this.
Let's rumble!
I think you can take him, Georgie.
Hey, come on, be sensible.
Stop crying and fight your father.
Ow! Ow, I got it!
This is the best Festivus ever!
Jesus had older brothers and sisters. He had two older brothers and two older sisters, and for the first time in history, though I've been sending information to the learning channels of the television for years, they've come out and admitted on the documentary on the Lifetime station, the great Catholic historians and Episcopal historians admitted for the first time that Joseph, that Mary, the Virgin Mary, was not in fact Joseph's first wife. He had been married and been a widower by the time he married the Virgin Mary. Jesus, I'm not the first to say it. I'm not the 10,000th person to say it. But in fact, Joseph had been married and been a widower by the time of the birth of Jesus, and that he had two older brothers and two older sisters. So in order to set the scene for the birth of Jesus, we have to understand that when Joseph and Mary were headed for Bethlehem, that they were en route with James, Jesus' older stepbrother, in tow with them in this journey. I understand how shocking that might be. I understand how shocking every single sentence I might say might be. We must understand that there's a distance from Nazareth, or there was no such city as Nazareth at the time of Jesus' birth, but the precursor of Nazareth, the distance between Nazareth and Bethlehem is about 84 miles. And we must understand they also didn't have Cadillacs or carriages, and so the finest mode of transportation at that particular moment in time was, in fact, the finest donkey you could buy, money could buy, and Joseph and Mary were heirs to the throne of David and were very wealthy, which is another common misconception. The word carpenter translated in the Bible comes from the Greek word tech, or in other words, it filters down through our word architect. Joseph was in fact an architect, a contractor, and a surveyor, and a very, very, very wealthy man himself. And so Joseph and Mary had the finest donkey in the country and were traveling to Bethlehem while Mary was ready to deliver the baby Jesus. Philanthropy of Jesus' family was renowned in those days, and there are many ancient texts which talk about the fact that they gave a third of their income every year to the poor and the needy, and were in fact popular in their community amongst the poor because they gave so much of their money to the poor and the needy. It was a family tradition. These people were the heirs to the throne of David, which was, by the way, not in power at the time of the birth of Jesus. How it was in power in the 6th century B.C., and Jesus' grandmother, I'm going to get you fragmented really badly here with this one. Jesus' grandmother was born in England and reverse immigrated before the birth of the Virgin Mary back to Palestine to marry a man named Joachim. So Jesus' grandfather, Joachim, was also very wealthy. And that tradition of philanthropy from the wealth of the family of Jesus extended for centuries, and we could talk about that ad infinitum. We can talk about financial records that survive to our day, and we can talk about the wealth of the family and what happened to it, and the fighting and infighting before and after the death of Jesus over that particular subject for forever. Except we want to focus back on the birth of Jesus for a moment, if we can, and suggest to the audience that that Jesus's two of his older brothers were already out of the house and on their own. Two of his older sisters had already left the house and had their own families. But they did have James, the older brother of Jesus, who eventually became the Apostle James, with them en route to Bethlehem the night of the birth of Jesus. And we get this story, by the way, from records written by James himself. Jesus's two brothers, James and Thomas, were assigned by Jesus to record the family histories, and these histories have been with us since the 1st century A.D., and in fact are included in a volume called The Only Rule of Our Faith, which was the Bible before the Bible, and was a popular document which was eventually excluded from the canon in the 3rd century A.D. for political reasons, and we could talk all night about that as well. But the actual birth events of the story of Jesus are more authentic, in my opinion, coming from family members than they are from historians or people who were not there. And so the quotes about what happened the night of the birth of the Savior come from the writings of James himself. And so he wrote about what happened that night and was old enough to be aware of what was happening the night of the birth of his younger brother Jesus.
Thank you. Certainly James was an authentic character who played a great role in the Bible. The fact that Jesus came from a very wealthy family, or at least came from the throne of David, is well known in the Bible. We forget that when the Magi came to the birth of, to visit the baby Jesus a month or so after his birth, that they brought with them a king's ransom of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I emphasize the word gold. This was a king's ransom. And yet we still perpetuate the myth that the family of Jesus was poor. And yet that gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh would have kept 100 families wealthy at that time. Certainly this myth that Jesus was a poor carpenter's son is conflicted in the Bible itself and is in fact a myth. The family of Jesus came from royal blood. They had preserved their family fortunes and in fact had augmented that family fortune, and at the time of Jesus were very, very wealthy. And that story continues. We could go through the night and talk about the wealth of Jesus. Well, we actually have some financial correspondence from Jesus himself that have survived into our day, where we must understand that at the end of my book, the first book, which is The Hidden Stories of the Childhood of Jesus, Jesus speaks of his own father's death, and we're referring specifically to Joseph, who was married to the Virgin Mary. That occurred when Jesus was about 14 or 15 years old. He writes about it in his own hand, and that document is in the back, translated, is in the back of my book at the very end of the book, and I end the book there with the death of his father. But under Jewish law, a single woman with a family, the next of kin, must under the law take over the protectorship of the family. Now you say, who was that person who took over the protectorship of the family from the time Jesus was 15 years old? And I'm telling you that there is an extreme abundance of information that man was in fact a man named Joseph of Arimathea, who was the third wealthiest man on the planet at that moment in history. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why we do not hear more about Jesus' youth or his young manhood was the fact that he was taken under the protectorship of Joseph of Arimathea, who had the great tin and lead mines in England. He was named Noblest Decurio by Tiberius Caesar himself, and so Tiberius Caesar and Joseph of Arimathea knew each other intimately well. Cicero said it was harder to be a Roman senator than to be Noblest Decurio, and Noblest Decurio was the title that Caesar himself had given to Jesus' acting father from the age of 15 until his final ministry. And so Jesus had access to the wealth untold by the world. And he sailed on the boats of his great uncle and perpetuated much of the merchant traffic of his great uncle, and we have financial records that survive to this day to that effect.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
It's like the best show ever!
If we assume that mankind has a right to survive, then we must find an alternative to war. And so let us this morning explore the conditions for peace. And as we explore these conditions, I would like to suggest that modern man really go all out to study the meaning of nonviolence, its philosophy, and its strategy. We have experimented with the meaning of nonviolence in our struggle for racial justice in the United States. But now, the time has come for man to experiment with nonviolence in all areas of human conflict. And that means nonviolence on an international scale. Now let me suggest first that if we are to have peace on earth, our loyalties must become ecumenical rather than sectional. No individual can live alone. No nation can live alone. And as long as we try, the more we're going to have war in this world. The judgment of God is upon us.
Yes, sir.
And we must either learn to live together as brothers, or we're all going to perish together as fools. Yes, as nations and individuals, we are interdependent. I've mentioned to you before of our visit to India some years ago. It was a marvelous experience. But I say to you this morning that there were those depressing moments. For how can one avoid being depressed when he sees with his own eyes evidences of millions of people going to bed hungry at night?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How can one avoid being depressed when he sees with his own eyes thousands of people sleeping on the sidewalks at night? More than a million people sleep on the sidewalks of Bombay, India every night. More than a half a million sleep on the sidewalks of Calcutta every night. They have no houses to go in. They have no beds to sleep in. As I beheld these conditions, something within me cried out, can we in America stand idly by and not be concerned? And an answer came, oh no. And I started thinking about the fact that right here in our country, we spend millions of dollars every day to store surplus food.
Make it plain.
And I said to myself, I know where we can store that food free of charge. In the wrinkled stomachs of the millions of God's children in Asia and Africa, Latin America, and even in our own nation who go to bed hungry at night. It really boils down to this, that all life is interrelated. We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny, and whatever affects one directly,
yes, sir,
affects all indirectly. We are made to live together because of the interrelated structure of reality.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. The baffled king composing. Faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair. And she broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. Baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. A time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. And it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.